I want to thank every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer, because you guys paid for all of this.
You guys paid for all of this.
This is Megacorp, an investigative podcast exposing some of the world's most unethical corporations. This series is about Amazon. I'm Jake Hanrahan, journalist and documentary filmmaker. Megacorp is produced by H11 for Cool Zone Media. You'll remember we briefly spoke about the health and safety conditions inside various Amazon warehouses in episode 1. We spoke about how people were getting injured due to unsafe working environments. Well, after that aired, I got a message from a contact of mine who currently works as an Amazon employee on the warehouse floor in a warehouse somewhere in America. Now, he still works there, so he doesn't want to kind of give his identity out, so we'll just call him Jim. Here's what Jim had to say.
Those injury statistics, there's just no way that those statistics are accurate, even though they're really, really bad, because one of the worst things that can happen at Amazon is for you to report an injury. Because if you report an injury, your manager has to fill out a form, and then you go to the on-site or infirmary, and then they make you sit down, and then they fill out a report, and then HR is going to get a hold of you. And then it turns into a thing where they really don't want a workers' compensation claim. So it actually just happened to me today where I was limping because I have a really bad blistered foot from working on Black Friday. And one of my coworkers actually told my manager, and it wasn't cool because I was like, this is how bad it is at Amazon, where I was upset that my coworker said that I was hurt because I just didn't want to go through the process. And all I had to tell my manager was, I don't want to go to AmCare, which is just all you got to say. AmCare is the Amazon Care. It's the thing where they start investigating you. And I just don't want to go through that. I don't want to be sent home. I don't want to have to deal with the investigation. I don't want to be harassed by the company. So nobody wants to report those things. And we have a general understanding that things like, oh, he wasn't social distancing enough, or he was late to work consistently, or something like that. They use bullshit excuses to fire people for reasons that they don't want to get in trouble for, which is why the best thing for an Amazon employee is to have nobody talk to you. I got hired on my first 3-4 months. I didn't talk to a single human being. I signed on and I signed into the scanner, and then I just followed the algorithm and it told me where to go. And that was when I was fucked with the least. Nobody said anything to me about my statistics or anything like that. So it's kind of one of those things where if you stand up for yourself or if you make your concerns known, they will catch you somehow, some way.
I think it's really sad there how Jim just says they will catch you somehow, some way, as if that's a sort of normal thing to be saying. Personally, I couldn't imagine working in the sort of environment that has employees hiding injuries so that they don't get fired or singled out. I've worked in a lot of warehouse jobs before I became a reporter, before I was a journalist. I worked in warehouses, I worked on building sites as a labourer. I've done a lot of stuff like that, and I've never actually experienced something that bad where it's like, no, I better hide this injury because I don't want to get in trouble. That's kind of fucked up. Now, Jim is only one guy, but I do trust him. He's even sent me images of injuries he's sustained at Amazon. But I thought, you know what? Let's have a look at the real environment of health and safety at Amazon to see what's really going on here. So just last year in 2020, the UK's GMB trade union obtained figures that showed injury rates weren't improving at more than 50 of the country's Amazon warehouses. GMB used the Freedom of Information Act to obtain the figures that showed the dire situation of warehouse safety. In fact, as cited in a Guardian article by Rob Davies, in the 3 years leading up to 2020, more than 600 Amazon workers have been seriously injured at UK warehouses. That's an average of 200 plus Amazon workers a year sustaining what's classed as a serious injury in the workplace in the UK. The numbers speak for themselves. The annual total of Amazon warehouse injuries was 152 in the years 2016 to 2017. It went up to 230 in 2018 and then up again to 240 in 2019. Now, there's something in this article that further corroborates what Jim told us. It talks about how there was an accident at an Amazon warehouse in 2015. Basically, somebody drove a forklift truck backwards into a steel structure in a warehouse, knocking some of it down. A report into the incident concluded that the driver had had a lapse in concentration due to, quote, long working hours, something we've heard a lot about already in this series. Now, the article then goes on to say this, quote, internal emails from the health and safety executive show that the accident was reported by an Amazon worker who would not give their name because they were worried about getting sacked. End quote. Now, if you're not familiar with UK vernacular, getting sacked means getting fired. You lose your job. So it seems what Jim told us at the start has been going on for a while now, not just in specific warehouses. I mean, that stretches from a UK warehouse in 2015 to a US warehouse in 2021. Remember, Jim said he thinks the official figures, which are very high anyway, for injuries at Amazon warehouses are too low because he said people are worried that if they report an accident or an injury, they might lose their job. Even so, the statistics for Amazon warehouse injuries in the US are very high anyway.
So you've spent the better part of a year investigating Amazon and its warehouse conditions. What did you find?
We found that they're injuring a tremendous amount of people. These are extremely high injury rates. The reason behind this is just how fast these warehouses move, how fast the workers are required to move. They're injuring a tremendous amount of people.
So let's look at the numbers again. 2021 study by the Strategic Organizing Center, the SOC, shows that workers are more likely to be injured at Amazon warehouses than in any other warehouse in that industry. They're also more likely to be injured more frequently at Amazon warehouses and even more severely. So basically, if you work in warehouses for a living, you are way more likely to catch a severe injury working for Amazon than at any of their competitors. The data shows that Amazon workers had 5.9 serious injuries per 100 people. For context, that's almost 80% higher than other warehouses in the industry. Not only that, due to how bad the injuries sustained at Amazon warehouses are, the SOC discovered that Amazon workers also took longer to recover than others in their same industry. In the report, they say, quote, in 2020, Amazon workers who experienced lost time injuries were forced off of work for an average of 46.3 days, more than a month and a half. This is a week longer than the average recovery time for workers injured in the general warehouse industry and more than 2 weeks longer than the recovery time for the average worker who suffered a lost time injury. End quote. So basically, if you work for Amazon, you're more likely to get fucked up in the warehouse, it's more likely to be a bad injury, and you're more likely to have to take more time off than any other warehouse to recover from it. The data shows that Amazon's injury rates are actually more than twice as bad as their strongest competitor, Walmart. With that in mind, let's hear what Amazon's founder Jeff Bezos signed off with in his 2021 letter to his shareholders.
Bezos left on a very Bezos-like note. He quotes a passage from a Richard Dawkins book that reads in part, "Staving off death is something that you have to work at."
Staving off death is something you have to work at. After going through all those numbers, ironically enough, sounds to me that you might even meet your death whilst trying to work very hard to stave off your death at an Amazon warehouse. But anyway, let's hear what else he had to say.
He blamed the media for misrepresenting their employees as desperate souls or being treated like robots. He says, and I'm quoting again here, that's just not accurate.
So apparently, according to Jeff Bezos, the real issues at Amazon are that reporters aren't being accurate. Anyway, not only are people at risk of injury due to overwork in the Amazon warehouse, they're also at risk due to Amazon's lack of adequate weather provisions. In the summer of this year, 2021, Amazon workers at New York's Staten Island warehouse had to be carried out of the building on stretchers due to the extreme heat from a summer heatwave. As reported by independent news outlet Status Quo, Amazon workers began to faint inside the warehouse, which is roughly the size of 15 football pitches. Imagine how much heat has to gather in a place that big to make it so hot that workers actually start to faint. Ambulances were called and people were stretchered out of the building. But Amazon didn't shut down the warehouse. Instead, they gave them cheap, portable fans as if that would do anything. As the workers sweltered in the warehouse, employees in the offices sat there with the aircon.
When workers would walk over to HR's offices, where the executives were, to complain, those HR officials would have perfectly working air conditioning, and in many cases, they would be wearing hoodies because it was actually cold in their corner of the warehouse.
That's the voice of Jordan Chariton, the reporter who wrote this Status Quo article about Amazon workers fainting in the Staten Island warehouse.
And inside the warehouse, there, Amazon claims that there's a central air conditioner, but if there is, it's certainly not working. So on the ground floor, workers have told me as soon as they got in, they're basically soaking wet from the heat inside the warehouse. And when you move up to the second, third, fourth floors of the warehouse, it gets even hotter as heat rises. So I've seen videos just in one day of four ambulance visits to Amazon. So it's a mixture of just sweltering heat.
To corroborate all this, Status Quo obtained some of the internal complaints made at this time to the Amazon HR department from various different warehouse workers. Let's have a read. Edison, quote, "If there's another oppressive heat wave like 90 or 100 degrees Fahrenheit outside, will the facility be cool enough to work?" End quote. Dana, quote, "It is still way too hot, even with the station fans. How is the system working properly if internal temperatures are 70 to 80 degrees? Please look into this until it's fixed properly and comfortable." End quote. Natalie, quote, "Multiple water stations were out of water today. Many of the vending machines don't work. They take your money, though. The ice machines are always broken. If you had more consideration for your workers, these machines would be checked and maintained more often. It would be greatly appreciated." End quote. It's clear from all this that the employees were in danger due to Amazon's inconsiderate working conditions, even when there's a summer heatwave. But hey, remember what Bezos said.
Staving off death is something that you have to work at.
Now let's check back in with Jim. You remember Jim from the start of the episode? He'd hurt his foot at Amazon and he was telling us that he feels workers are scared to report workplace injuries to Amazon for fear that they might lose their job. Obviously, Amazon doesn't fire them directly for getting injured, but as we heard from Jim earlier, he feels, as do other people that I've spoken to, that Amazon will find an excuse to get rid of you if you do hurt yourself. So I kept in contact with Jim to see how his injury was going, and eventually it got to a point where he said, yeah, okay, he's going to check himself into AmCare. AmCare is Amazon's on-site emergency clinic for workers. Now, he found that after reporting into AmCare, telling them he'd been injured at work, he found himself hounded by the managers. Now, maybe they just wanted to keep a real eye on him to make sure he was feeling better, but I don't think so. Here's what he had to say.
So today, after every break, I had a manager asking me about my AmCare case and telling me to go talk to AmCare to at least check in, even if I wanted to keep the case open about the injury. So eventually around 4 o'clock, after like the third manager talked to me, and by the way, the way that the managers talk to you, it's very like Agent Smith in The Matrix, because it's never the same manager, and like just like when they discipline you, it's always a manager that you don't typically see. Like they'll send you a manager from a different department because they don't want the manager that you talk to every day and that you're supposed to build a positive relationship with to be the manager that punishes you. So the managers kind of just appeared out of nowhere, like, oh, okay, you're talking to me now. And they were reminding me to go talk to AmCare about this injury case. So I finally went to AmCare. And I said, I'm good with closing the case now. My managers have helped me to accommodate and adjust to the situation, and I'll deal with it now. And she goes, oh, okay. So you want to close the case? I said, yeah, I want to close the case. I'm going to go talk to a doctor on my own time. And she goes, oh, if you're going to go talk to a doctor, then we got to proceed with the workers' compensation claim. And I said, no, we're going to close the AmCare case. And at this point, I am no longer comfortable sharing further medical information with Amazon. I could tell with like the doctor thing, she was gearing up to fight. She's like, oh, okay, so you're going to go talk to your doctor and get a note, and we're going to have our notes, and we're going to have all this conversation here. Like you could hear it in her voice. I could tell she was just probing for more information, and she was just building a case against the situation.
So as I said before, Jim is just one of several Amazon workers I've spoken to for Megacorp so far. But I've known Jim for a while, and I do trust him. He's shown me photos of the forms, the injuries, and his work system, all sorts. With that said, I think it's clear here that as far as Jim is concerned, the managers at Amazon were more worried about having to compensate Jim for his injury than the fact he was injured at all. One last thing that I found funny here from Jim.
I asked for a copy of the form, and the copy machine was broken. So that probably tells you how many other people are worried about protecting their rights when they come through the door.
But of course, the copier machine was broken. Either way, Jim took a photo of the form and he showed me it. It's nothing interesting, but for the sake of transparency, it says the following. After careful consideration, I, Jim, am requesting that my case with AmCare be closed. This includes any ongoing care/first aid and scheduled follow-ups. I certify that I am making this request voluntarily, and I am doing so by my own choice without duress or undue influence of any kind. I understand that this request does not impact my ability to return to AmCare. If my injury should begin to affect me again, or should I have another injury or illness, I understand I am free to return to AmCare for treatment at any point in time. Then there's the associate signature and then the date, which was fairly recently. Now, that's just one example. Jim didn't hurt himself too badly and he decided, right, he'll deal with this outside of Amazon. He'll go and talk to his doctor. But I think the most interesting thing about that last thing he said is that his manager seemed to be gearing up for some kind of argument when he mentioned he was going to go to his own doctor. It's like they wanted to settle everything in-house so as not have to compensate Jim monetarily for his injury at work in the Amazon warehouse. But like I said, this is just an example. Make of it what you will. Now, whilst I was editing this episode, something truly awful happened. An Amazon warehouse in Edwardsville, Illinois, in the US, collapsed due to storms and a tornado. The roof caved in around 8:30 at night on December 10th. So far, at least 6 people have died, and there are many still missing, all presumed dead also. They were all Amazon workers. They were Austin J. McEwen, 26, DeAndre S. Morrow, 28, Kevin D. Dickey, 62, Clayton Lynn Cope, 29, Etheria S. Hebb, 24, and Larry E. Verden, 46. Now, let me be clear, I am of course not blaming Amazon for their deaths. Amazon is of course not responsible for a shock tornado. In a statement to the press, they said the following, quote, "We're deeply saddened by the news that members of our Amazon family passed away as a result of the storm in Edwardsville, Illinois. Our thoughts and prayers with the victims, their loved ones, and everyone impacted by the tornado. We also want to thank all the first responders for their ongoing efforts on scene. We're continuing to provide support to our employees and partners in the area." End quote. Now, they just said there that they're continuing to give support to their employees. Well, are they? As this statement was released, Amazon workers began to talk online. One worker, Stefan Jose Jones, posted to Facebook saying that Amazon were threatening him with disciplinary for not coming back into work the very next day, even though the police had cordoned off the area because, of course, there was destruction all over the place due to the fact the warehouse roof had caved in and 6 people had just died. Here's what Stefan Jose Jones wrote on his Facebook page in full. Quote, "I'm on the phone with Amazon ERC and they're telling me I'll be marked as a missing shift even though the state police just told me to go home. Then he got the nerve to get smart with me and say if I want the points removed, I need to go back to the site and speak to HR. There is no HR or management office. It's buried and the building is surrounded by emergency management and cops. All I know is they better pay me and relocate us to DLI-5 or something. The whole weird thing is all week, building maintenance and different crews have been in there watching us doing inspections on the equipment and started hiring for the safety committee yesterday." End quote. Another Amazon worker, Leslie Campbell, wrote the following on Twitter. Quote, "I'm an Amazon worker in Kentucky. Tornado hit 2 miles from my house and I physically couldn't get to work for my shift. The ERC team told me that they had no record of tornadoes in Kentucky and couldn't help me with not getting attendance time reduced for today. My house plus many others are still without power, but that pales in comparison to the loss of life and homes that others have gone through. In the grand scheme of today, my family and I were lucky." End quote. So before the bodies of 6 Amazon workers killed in a tragic natural disaster were barely even cold, Amazon told workers that they had to get back to work the very next day.
So if you work at Amazon and you work across the street from the collapsed building, you are to report to your shift starting at 12 p.m. tomorrow.
And they said that they're providing support to their employees and partners in the area. It doesn't sound like it to me. There's one more thing that I want to mention in regards to the tragedy in Illinois. This came in just as we were ready to publish this episode. Thank you to everyone that sent it to me. This was first reported by More Perfect Union, an excellent platform that's dedicated to building a better environment for all working people. They specialize in getting information out there into the media about various situations with unions and what have you. They published a text message from Larry Verden. Remember, we mentioned him earlier. He was one of the people who died when the tornado hit the Amazon warehouse. This is a tragic text message that he sent to his girlfriend. It says, quote, "Larry, well, I will be home after the storm." His girlfriend, "What do you mean?" Larry, "Amazon won't let us leave." his girlfriend. All it's doing here is lightning. So what are you doing? I hope everything is okay. I love you. End quote. Of course, Larry never replied. Sadly, he was killed when the roof caved in at the Amazon warehouse. He leaves behind 4 children. Now, there's no more information out there yet regarding what Larry said, saying that Amazon wouldn't let them leave. But as it comes in, we will keep you updated. To some, this might seem unrelated, but one day after the tragedy at the Amazon warehouse in Illinois, Jeff Bezos launched another one of his Blue Origin rockets into near space. We'll go into Blue Origin in another episode, but basically, it's Jeff's commercial space flight venture. It's something he said when it launched that all Amazon customers and employees paid for.
I want to thank every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer because you guys paid for all of this.
Personally, I think it was bad taste not to postpone the flight, considering 6 of those said employees were just killed under the weight of a collapsing Amazon warehouse as a tornado tore through it. But that's just me. In the next episode of Megacorp, we'll be looking into how exactly Jeff Bezos made so much money through Amazon and how he's managed to wrangle it that he paid no corporation tax in the UK last year whilst making a sales income of 44 billion euros in Europe. We'll go over that next week on Megacorp. Megacorp is made by my production company, H11, for Cool Zone Media. It's written, researched, and produced by myself, Jake Hanrahan. It was also produced by Sophie Lichterman. Music is by Sam Black, graphics by Adam Doyle, and sound engineering by Splicing Block. If you want to get in touch, follow me on social media at Jake_Hanrahan. That's H-A-N-R-A-H-A-N.